Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, bless the message today. Help me to speak and remember the things I've studied and prepared, but I submit them to you and pray you'd guide me in what to say and how to say it. Pray that you bless your people today for their faithfulness in being here in the church service. Bless those that watch in live streaming and help the message to come through clearly on the video for them. We pray, Father, for your help. We offer to you our praise, our thanksgiving, our appreciation for all you do. You kept us safe through a hurricane, and we're thankful. We pray for those that were less fortunate and ask that you'd meet their needs. And Father, we love you and offer you our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Look in your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Luke. The second prayer request is Marina. Next Sunday, she'll be getting on a plane to go to India to visit her family. And they have a home there they own, so she'll have a place to stay. But remember her in prayer, please. The airport in Charlotte is going through expansion, as they have over and over and over again. I still remember when there was a Douglas Airport in Charlotte, and the old runway and hangar is still there. You know, they just went up above it and built all this new stuff. It's an international airport now, so they keep expanding. And you go in, and I think you have to go down in the lower level for everything now while they're working on the upper level. So pray for them as they get there, to get there in time, to get her to where she needs to be, to get on the plane, and then to have a safe flight. How many hours is it?
It's about 18 hours.
18-hour flight. And that's quite a long time on an airplane in a seat. So remember her, and we thank you for that. In the book of Luke, in chapter 9 and verse 23, the subject this morning is the doctrine of discipleship. We've looked at many of the great doctrines of the faith. We've looked at the doctrine of the Bible and what the Bible teaches about the Bible, about what God would have us to know, is what we're looking at. We saw that the Bible is preserved, infallible, inerrant. It is the Word of God. The doctrine of salvation, that is through Christ alone, by grace through faith, the Scripture teaches us. The doctrine of sin, harmartia, to miss the mark, is what that word defines as. In other words, all sinful man has not measured up to the requirement that God requires. It is only by grace through faith that we can be forgiven of our sin and receive eternal life. We looked at the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We looked at angels who are messengers of God. We looked at man in his creation by God and his fall in sin by his choices to disobey. Imagine all the result of sin that has happened since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They weren't murderers. They weren't rapists. They weren't evil. They weren't seductive. They just disobeyed. And it plunged all mankind into having a sin nature that we are born with. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's why people die. Satan said, "You can eat of it, you won't die." But they did die. And people die every day, and it is a result of their decision. Repentance is a change of mind. We looked at that under the doctrine of salvation. Justification is to be declared righteous simply by having faith in Jesus Christ, by believing upon him. We can be declared righteous in the sight of God, and that's what justification means. Sanctification means that we've been set apart holy. Once you get saved, you become a part of the family of God. And God receives you into his family. You're forever different from the rest of the world. David brought Mephibosheth to his home. And he said, I'm going to restore all your land. I'm going to restore your servants to you because of Jonathan, your father. He said, but you are going to sit at the king's table and eat like a member of my family. And you've been saved, my friend. That's what God has said to you. We are a part of his family, and we'll sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Lord. We looked at redemption, which means we have been purchased. Christ paid the price for our freedom, our redemption, our eternal life. We looked at law and grace. We looked at assurance and peace. We looked at election and free will and foreknowledge and predestination. We look at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Today we're looking at discipleship. Look at verse 23 of chapter 9. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Look over, if you would, in chapter 14 and verse 27. Chapter 14 and verse, let me read verse 25 through 27. There went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Discipleship, Jesus taught to the 12, those he called out from among the people, those who had been disciples of John, who were looking for the Messiah, who were believing, and they came to know the Messiah when he came. He went back and called 12 of them out from the others to be his disciples. Paul said about the same emphasis in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ gave his disciples the command to make disciples of all nations of people. Every ethnos is the word. And that is where we get our English word ethnic. Christ wants every ethnic group of people in the world to have disciples from among their people so that they might disciple others of their own people. And the gospel spreads in that way. Turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, if you would, with me, and verse 7 and 8. Jesus explained the vine and the branches, that the branches cannot bear fruit except they abide in the vine. And he is the vine, and without him we can do nothing. In chapter 15, verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So secondly, this morning, to be a disciple, we must be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should follow him in believers' baptism, where we symbolize dying with him on the cross, being buried with him, and resurrected with him from the grave, and to a new life, to walk in newness of life. We must be teachable as a disciple of Christ. We must be a ready student of all that Christ asks of us. Now, we have a lot of teaching in the Gospels about discipleship. Disciple is mentioned 231 times in the four Gospels, 30 times in the book of Acts, and almost none in the epistles, the church letters, because the church takes over that duty of making disciples, and the church disciples were named Christians in the book of Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, and that became more the meaning of the followers of Christ is Christians. And the real meaning of that word we seek to live up to means Christ-like ones. Now I ask you, are we Christ-like ones this morning? Are we living for Him and serving Him like a disciple did in the days that He walked upon the earth and trained them and taught them? To be His disciple, one has to be saved, and they have to gain assurance of their salvation. If a person does not have assurance that they know they've been saved, they'll be very difficult to them to be an effective witness for Christ unless they are assured of their belief. Secondly, that person who's becoming a disciple needs to feel accepted and feel that they've been forgiven and that they have a future to look forward to. That needs to be settled in our hearts, that we've received Christ as Savior. He's forgiven us of all our sin. He's preparing us a home in heaven. We've got a future to look forward to. The witness of a disciple is vital to share with others. Bringing people to church is an important thing. We just had a friend day a couple of weeks ago, and we had the best attendance we've had all year long. 202 were here for the friend day, and we must have had close to 40 visitors that were here. A few of them may have been before, but many of them were first-time visitors. And there must be at least 6 or 8 first-time visitors here today, and several more who have been here before, but they've come again and maybe been a while since we've seen them. So we're delighted to see that taking place. It's not a result. People don't come here to see the preacher. The statistics show that about 2% of people go to a particular church because of the pastor. About 4 or 5% come because of advertising and evangelism of big meetings and things of that nature is about 1%. But why do most people go to church? Over 75% go to church because a friend or a relative invited them to come. Now, you might invite somebody that you never met before, and they come. Well, you see, that's a fast way to start making friendship. Making friends for Christ is what it's all about, that we're trying to make disciples of every ethnic group of people in the world. As disciples are growing, they have the basic need of walking with God, because as they walk with God, they will have His provision and His protection and His guidance in living their life from day to day. They learn how to feed on the Word of God, how to read and study the Bible. You say, well, I have difficulties in that. Just take it down and read some verses. And it's amazing how God can speak to you even though you didn't think that He would. He'll guide you. He'll enlighten you. He won't shine a light on a passage of Scripture, but it feels that way sometimes. All of a sudden, you get something from that passage of Scripture that you never had before. You're learning how to feed on the Word. And fellowship, that's what the church is all about. We are preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible. I've said to many people, this church is not the gigantic warehouse church. We don't have big, gigantic choirs and big, gigantic orchestras and things like that. But if you want to learn the Bible, this is the place to come. If you come here, you'll learn the Bible. We teach the Bible. We preach the Bible. We explain the Bible. And people have come here for a few months and said they've learned more about the Word of God in that few months than they had in 20 years being a member of some kind of denominational church. And I'm thankful for that kind of feedback. Growth comes as we begin to serve. Worshiping involves service. Worship to bow down before, but it means to get up and serve. As we worship the Lord, we serve the Lord. We take what we learn and we can share it with other people. Fathers and mothers and older siblings can come home and share what they've learned with the rest of their family. And that family atmosphere is vitally important in the growth of the church. The church is no stronger than the families that make it up. We develop a faithfulness because there's a great need for workers. In Matthew 9 and verse 36 and 37, Jesus was explaining to his disciples to look out about the harvest. There are seasons of the year when grains are harvested. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 and 37, one more page here. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus said, look out on the harvest and don't think there's still 4 months to come until the harvest. The harvest is ripe now and ready. What is needed are laborers to go into the harvest and work. Now he compared that to a field, but what he was referring to was people. Look out on the world. There are people everywhere who need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you are one who knows the Lord. So you can be a witness to them. You can share with them. You can help them. You can talk to them. You might be able to bring peace to them from the Word of God about something that's going on in their life. But look out over the world today. 8 billion people. India is rapidly becoming the most populous nation in the world, even ahead of China. They believe by 2023 that will be a fact. You can get overwhelmed when you think about that. But God didn't ask you to lead the whole world to Christ. What your job is to influence one person. If everyone wins one and then trains that one to win another, then we disciple someone and they disciple somebody else, then you got a team going out instead of just one person. And so the focus needs to be that we seek to begin right where we are in our own home, in our own neighborhood, in our own workplace, in our own community, and we try to influence others for the cause of Christ. Start with one. Get out of your comfort zone and step up and introduce yourself to people. Make a friend for Christ. You see someone with a need, like the Good Samaritan, you can help them and get an audience to witness and tell them of the Lord. Work on building character in your own life and demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I quote that often because I don't want to forget it. I had to memorize it in Bible college. I had 3 to 5 cards. Had memorized about 100 verses my first year of Bible college. I had never memorized a verse of Scripture in my life until I got there. Joy and I hadn't been saved but a year when we went to Bible college. And so we had a lot to learn. And learning verses, God can recall them to your memory at any point in time that it's necessary if the Holy Spirit is leading your life. We make friends for Christ. The Greek word is oikos, meaning household. Household evangelism. You can influence a neighbor. You can influence a cousin. You can influence someone who has a need that you step in to help them. You establish a relationship one person at a time to be an influence for them and to them for God. We go to other people and we teach them God's Word. We enlist them to come to church and hear what God has to say. God has a great message for us today. We can be saved. We can have eternal life. We can have a home in heaven. We can rescue people from sin and the dangers that sin has. That's a great message today. That's good that we can share that with the world around us. Now, Jesus told his original 12, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Some of them had been professional fishermen. They had taken small boats and nets and had gone out and fished and draw the nets with fish, and they would supply their living with that. They could sell the fish, they could eat the fish, and there was much that could be done. James and Peter and John were fishermen professionally. And Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll teach you how to fish for men. And that's exactly what he did. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and the disciples were among them, and 3,000 people were saved and baptized and added to their church. And later 5,000 were saved at one time. And then the Bible says the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. I not only like to see somebody get saved every Sunday and somebody get baptized every week, I'd like to see somebody get saved Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and again the next Sunday. Because if we're out witnessing as people, we have the word that can show them the way of eternal life. And that doesn't just have to happen in Sunday school or the preaching service or the Sunday night service or the Wednesday night Bible study. It can happen on any day where you're working with someone or living next door, or you visit them because you want to share with them something God has laid upon your heart. And that's that you would like to see them get saved and maybe delivered from practices of their lifestyle. A disciple is a follower of Christ, seeking to become like him. A disciple is like an apprentice. I went through a short time as an apprentice welder. I learned how to weld by watching welders. And when they would take a break, they would let me take their welding rod and their, we call it a stinger, and hold that and use my face shield and weld on a piece of pipe or a piece of metal that was scrap and learn how to do what's called run a bead. And when I learned how to run a bead, then I learned how to put two pieces of metal together and weld them together. Then I went to welding school on Saturdays for about 6 hours every Saturday, and I practiced welding. Then I went to Greenville, South Carolina, and took a pipe welding test with Daniels Construction Company. And I passed the test. I got a certification card. I got a job at Riverbend Steam Station at Mountain Island Lake welding pipe. And we were working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. I got a whole lot of experience real quick. So then I went up the street to McGuire Nuclear Plant and took the test with Duke Power, and I passed the original welding test that got me hired with Duke. And then over the years, I passed 26 welding certifications for all different kinds of metal, different thicknesses, and all that sort of thing. From a short term as an apprentice, I became a certified welder. Discipleship works the same way. You start studying to become closer to God and to learn more about God and to serve God, and God will put you to work right away. He'll start putting you in the path of somebody who needs your message, somebody who needs your friendship, somebody who needs comfort because of what they're going through, somebody who's been through what they've been through can identify with them much greater than a professional minister that they've never met before in their life. And you have an outreach as a disciple of Christ to help others. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul wrote that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. You want an answer today about Christian discipleship? That's it. We're no longer living for ourselves, but we're putting Christ first in our life. A disciple is committed to a life of purity. And as he's growing, he separates himself more from sinfulness and closer unto God. He becomes a student of the Word of God and prayer. Disciple is ready to learn. He enjoys learning in church. He's teachable. He's ready to see what the Bible has for him today. And God can speak to your heart by His Spirit and illuminate Scripture to you so that you gain from being in the church service in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. A disciple loves fellowship. We love fellowship so much, we like to eat together. Baptists like to eat. You heard about the kid that went to school and took a show and tell, and he took a plate because he was a Baptist and he wanted to show and tell. They eat all the time. So he took a plate to church and to the show and tell at school. Disciples ready to learn, teachable, loves fellowship. We need to learn to focus on God each day and enjoy the journey. Enjoy our walk with God. If you focus on the news media and all the troubles of the world, you'll be discouraged. You'll get angry. You'll be dissatisfied. That's not the way God wants us as Christians to be. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord and share that with other people. Enjoy our journey with the Lord. A disciple is a witness. He shares his faith. And the best way to share your faith with other people is to start by sharing your personal testimony of how you got saved. My wife and I got saved when I was 24 years of age. I had come home from Vietnam as a Marine, bought a motorcycle, ran around with a rough crowd in construction, and lived a life of what I thought was a tough guy, you know. And God, in His mercy, reached down and saved me before it was too late. I could have been killed. I could have died on the road. Anything could have happened to me. But God saved my soul and saved my life at the same time. And Joy and I began to grow in the Lord. We got active and faithful in church. And we were seeking to be a witness to others. You know, you don't have to talk too much to Christian people about separating from sinfulness. Because when you start being a witness for Christ, it will separate from you. People will leave you and don't want anything to do with you because you become a Christian, because you want them to go to church, because you let them know you're praying for them and you'd like to see them get saved. And they'll run from that for a while. But you just keep praying because God can put things in their way to bring them back. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Disciple is faithful to the church services and supports the work of the Lord with his tithes and offerings. The psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." We're workers together with God in the work of the ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse number 1. A disciple is in unity with other believers. And what we believe is what holds us in unity together. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we believe God has a message for us today. And God has a message for the lost world out there. Before it's too late, come to Christ and be saved. 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 6 and verse 1 that we live in the day of salvation. Here in America, there are churches on every corner, especially here in what we call the Bible Belt in the South. There are churches everywhere. And it's just no reason for people to be unsaved. Just no reason for people to be destroying their life with sinful pleasures. Those are temporary, my friend. They won't last. And if you let Satan get in your ear to tell you to live like you want to live and live for all the pleasures of sin, let me help you understand something. He's a liar, and he will seek to destroy you with what he lures you into. There are many saved people in the church that have character and faith, and we simply need to develop that into ministry, that we minister to others, that we learn to serve. We must not forget that we represent Christ, because people will judge the church and the Lord and the ministry by us, the people who profess to be Christians. If we're real and we want to serve the Lord, then we can grow in our faith through the Word and the church services and through service to other people. We represent God. So Paul said, let's seek to give no offense, not be a stumbling block. Be patient. Patience is the enduring quality of maturity. One of our men in this church, an employee, told me the other day that works for him, and said, he's so patient. He's so understanding. And I thought, wow, what an amazing thing for a person to say. And I want to be that way myself. I want to be a person that has patience. My problem is I want it right now. And patience comes through enduring the trials and the troubles and the problems of life. But God, help us to be patient, an enduring quality of maturity. We're going to face afflictions and troubles and trials. We're going to face some who will turn away from us. But our job is not to reach everyone. It's to be a witness to anyone we can of the message that God loves them. And God wants them to come to Him and be saved by believing on Jesus Christ. And then to grow through His Word to become usable for His honor and for His glory. God, help us to be good New Testament Christians, as the disciples were, committed, dedicated, serving the Lord, being a witness to others, seeking to reproduce ourselves in the lives of those around us. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the subject of discipleship. I ask you to help us as a church to be a strong, mature Christian people that's concerned for the souls of others, concerned to be ministering to those who have needs. We pray that you'll use us for your honor and glory, and that you'll bless your people today for their faithfulness in being here in church. I pray they'll come back tonight. Brother Bob will be speaking tonight, and I need to meet with the deacons for a short time before the service. And then we'll present the treasurer's report at the close of the service tonight and do any business that needs to be done. So we pray for your blessings on today and all that happens through this church. May the songs we sing please you, Father. May the prayers we pray be effective, fervent prayers that accomplish something in your will. We pray for everyone here to receive a blessing of the Lord because of being here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.